W9BRK. CI9NZ, W9BRK. W9BRK, KI9NG. Glad to hear that you could make it out of the blue room safe and sound. W9BRK.
Yeah. And you've now probably realized a downfall of the simplex node. With no computer interface, you change rooms or nodes until somebody unkeys.
That's very annoying. But it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm thinking about trying to set up mine to be full duplex. I don't know that it'll work, though, because I saw one that uses an RTL SDR as the receiver and then, you know, the Sherry as the transmitter, and they put a relay on the receive antenna. That way, the receive antenna doesn't receive anything from the transmitter, so then it's not full duplex. I'm going to have to look at it more. It depends, right? I could put a filter, like a diplexer, on it, and then, yeah, more thought is required, but that's an option for me, is I could use an RTL SDR as the receiver, and then use the SA818 as a transmitter. But I don't think you answered me about the question there. Did that fix you up there? Did you get into the node on your phone yet?
No, I haven't had time to mess around on the phone yet today.
Oh, Roger. Yep. I got a good 20 minutes left on my side, waiting for my steel to be ready. Got the bubble guts, too. Good stuff.
Seems to be contagious. I'm going to take a screenshot of what my bass guy just sent me.
Uh-oh. Good stuff. Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. It's what happens when you stuff yourself with too much, Eckrich smoked sausage.
I have foregone the Eckrich, and I now only buy Johnsonville. It does a lot better on the stomach, just saying. And I don't think it costs any more.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've even seen that one. We get it from Sam's Club in like a 4-pack. It's freaking sweet. It's way cheaper. They probably don't have the Johnsonville.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a Walmart shopper for a number of reasons. But I know they have it at Meijer.
Yeah, I'm too broke to shop at Meijer. I shop there once in a while. They've got good meat. They've got a good cheese section, too. I love the cheese section over there at Meijer. You get all kinds of crazy stuff in there. And it's just, yeah, everything's a little more expensive at Meijer. It's probably not it. It's probably just that I end up buying more expensive things because they have better stuff.
See, I thought Meijer was one of the cheaper places to shop, but, I go there predominantly because they have good stuff, and they do have a amazing cheese selection. Unfortunately, they did not have any Parmesan cheese, an actual brick of it that I used to make Alfredo with.
Oh boy, yeah, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't put any Parmesan. I probably put too much hot pepper powder on my Eckridge sausage, too. Doesn't help either. It kind of goes back to what's on the on the text message there. Same thing. But, yeah. You are you going to try to get in on that POTA net tonight?
Yes, I am, and yeah, I don't think I'd be putting anything hot and flavorful like that on, Eckridge smoked sausage. That's just grounds for disaster. Yeah, I've got the N9, this one, and the Black Swan programmed into this radio, and I got the activate and deactivate. Just got to push a button, that's it.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to see if I can't do that on any of my radios. I'm sure that I can do it with the Anytones, but I don't like the way they sound nearly as well. They just don't have the good sound quality like this one does. I also might try to do, I don't know. There are plans for radioless nodes. And that is potentially an option for me to run an external speaker and rig up a Baofeng hand mic and, you know. I need to get a Baofeng or K2 plug breakout board. That's what I need. If I could do that, if I got a K2 plug breakout board, then I could run an external speaker on the Anytone. And all would be well, but like I say, I don't like the speaker on the Anytone. I like it on this TalkPod much better speaker here. I may also look into adding a pre-emphasis on my side. I'm not sure if I can do that or not, but it'll bring up the highs. Some people sound really good. And some people don't. Tom, in particular, sounds terrible. And Alan doesn't sound great either. And I wonder if I can bring that up. But I just acquired a 7/8 by, what is that, probably 4? Yeah, it's probably 7/8 by 4-inch. Bar that is probably 4.5 inches long, made of steel, and it's going to make for a really nice CW key bass. I want to put a strap on it so that I can strap it to my leg while I drive and put my key on this piece of steel and key while I drive.
No, that would be fancy. I'm currently driving through someone's backyard. To be honest. Well, that brought me all the way back here for that. Oh, that's ridiculous. Glad I don't have a Bobcat on the road. That's fine. I'll drive through here.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, they don't want to run a wheelbarrow, I guess. I've wheelbarreled my share of concrete. Well, maybe not my share. Maybe a little less than my share. But yeah, running a wheelbarrow for concrete, I don't enjoy it. So yeah, if you can drive in there, I'll make you drive in there.
They've got a tracked Bobcat with a bucket. They didn't need a wheelbarrow or anything. Oh well, it's not too bad out here. They got a lot more for me. I got 10.5 yards, and this is only a 12 by 12 pad.
Yeah, that's like 2 yards right there, right?
It's that.
Yeah, I need to do mine. I'm going to end up doing mine with asphalt, though. I can't afford concrete. I mean, I'm sure I could have you come over and help me. I bet you got the tools, too, that float it out and broom it and all that. But it's just the concrete alone is going to be more than it'll cost me to have a guy come out and pave it for me, especially if I rip it out myself.
Yeah, it's a little over $200 a yard right now because we're running hot water.
So I probably need like 6 yards. I don't know. You've seen my driveway. What would your estimate be on that driveway?
Probably 8. Right around 8 yards, something like that. So minimum of $1,600 in concrete alone.
Yeah, and then I got to rent a Bobcat and a dumpster. The guy, what did he say? I think he said $6,000. I think he quoted me $6,000 to rip it out and pave it with asphalt. I forget now. I'll have to look. But either way, I'm not going to do it. Not unless we refinance. And in order to refinance, we're going to have to get married. And yeah, it's all a big ordeal.
No driveway is worth marriage. And, you know, the number one leading cause of divorce is marriage. So, you know, food for thought.
Well, I'd argue the cause of all divorces is marriage, right?
It's a hard one to argue, that's for sure. I mean, been there, done that, and on round two, so far so good. There was an 8-year vetting period before we actually got married, and got all the angers and dumb stuff out of the way early on, and now I just hide out in the garage, and every once in a while I let her see me, and things seem to work out well.
Katie and I knew about it.
Oh boy, what's Tom got to say about marriage? Tony was looking for you too, by the way, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, I can say this. As of yesterday, we've been married 24 years, so there you go.
Some people get lucky, I suppose. We've been together for 15 years, and married for, what, 7 of those? Something like that.
Yeah, I had a trip, so I had to shut the radio off. I'm off of Uber right now. I'm going to run the car through the car wash and use the facility, and I'll be getting back on the first.
Yeah, you got to make that money, Tom. Yeah, I'm not making any money. A few more minutes, though. They ought to pull me in. Sit right after lunch. Who knows? They're in there painting. Get the Mexican guys in there painting the place. Smelly. But, yeah, it's good times, man. I don't know. We're going to be together till the kid moves out for sure, right? And then by that time, but either one of us will be too old to move on to anybody else, so I don't have a problem getting married. It's just now, it's like, what's the point? And it's a cost. There's a cost to it, you know. And it's just a hassle. The way I see it, we're already married. In the eyes of God, we're married, right? So, yeah, it's just, yeah. And then that might bring up the whole argument of, oh, you only married me so we could so you could have your name on the house, and I don't know. But yeah, since she doesn't have a job, we'd have to be married so that my income, I'd have to be on, or I guess I could just be on the house deed, right? I get my name on the house deed and then, right, but yeah, anyway, I don't know if they'd even let her on the deed without a job, without us being married together, but yeah, probably, I suppose they would, but that's, I guess that's irrelevant, but yeah. She wouldn't be able to refinance by herself, for sure, so. And at this point, I'd rather not. It's going to be more insurance, interest and, you know, all the fees associated with refinancing anyway. We'll figure something out. It's not that bad yet. It's not pure gravel. It's just a little broken up. No, it's everybody can make it up there still, so it's not that bad.
Be like mine, it's all gravel, and eventually it's going to get asphalt down on it, but siding and windows is coming first, and then the nice driveway, and we'll see what happens after that. It's a couple years down the road, though. W9GRK.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go utilize those facilities again before they pull me in. So I'm going to clear out of here as well. 73 to you, Rob, and to you, Tom. We will catch you again soon. Back in a bit. KI9NG.
Okay, I'm going to now back through someone's driveway in my backyard. Some drainage bits. And go find something else to pour. The joys of them not speaking English. And they just point and... yeah.
Yeah, proper marriage is a covenant. Get over in the air or what?
What's going on? I'm doing a Austin Powers 10-point turn in a backyard somewhere right now.
I didn't get you. Say again, season on your mic.
All right, I'm back on the mic, W9BRK.
Season on your mic, okay.
89 UMI, was that you?
Yes, it is.
More pointing. They got me sandwiched between two houses during a service walk. Interesting predicament.
Yeah, you got a lot of background noise there.
Oh yeah, that'd be the backup alarm going off. I'm backing up in between these two houses and going back out to the road now.
Yeah, I'm in Michigan City right now, but I'm heading to a call that's 2 minutes away. So I have to shut it off for right now. It's 7-3 here. Give me 9 your mind. Give me 9 your mind, open.
W9BRK.
This is radio station M9RJR out of Grand Haven, November 9, Romeo, Juliet, Romeo, looking for a radio check to Echolink at 9RJR.
You sound really good. I'm on RF, but yeah, you're coming through quite well.
It is KI9NG, and I am on All-Star.
That's excellent. Thanks, both you guys. I'm just getting this set up. I don't know what I'm doing. I tried it with my laptop, and the audio was absolutely terrible. Now I'm on my phone,
which,
and it seems to be working so much better.
It's okay.
So I appreciate
the
report, fellas.
Over.
And I will say 73s to you. Thanks again. This is M9RJR.
All right, M9RJR, K88UGB. Yeah, I wouldn't know you were on All-Star or anything else. It sounds like you're running direct, but sounds good here. Yeah, enjoy your day, KAUGB.
You as well. Thanks again. 73's N9RJR, and I'm clear on this.
Always looking for an excuse to take a break, aren't you, Tony? N-G.
I think you're in a bad a bad network. You got bad network connection. You're dropping out quite a bit.
Oh no. Okay. Well, we'll do a little restart. We'll be back. KI9NG73, Tony.
That was a good transmission. I think it was just your cell service.
Okay. Well. Yeah, it happens time to time, I suppose. I guess looking for an excuse to take a break from work, right?
Well, yeah, my radio stopped and it was locked here for a moment. Okay, that's a little bit more than just a...
Yeah, gotcha. I was just joking. Yeah, loaded up out of Grand Rapids, Z-Land. ITW draw form. You ever heard of it?
I have. Can't remember who they used to be, but I am familiar. I haven't been to the facility in a long time.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty nice place. Well lit. It's got a big tube, gigantic garage for us to back into the dock. So it's nice and on the weather. They can't risk getting snow or rain on the steel, I guess. So they built that, I suppose. But yeah, it's pretty nice place. They're a little slow. He takes his time getting to me, and then kind of a smaller forklift, so it takes a little while. I've got 108,000 pounds on the deck for them.
Go ahead, take it, Tom. All right, you're back to ground once again. And you be careful up there. watch out for the other guy. KA-UGB.
Yeah, between...
N9YOU, N9OK. KB9QBX.
Tomatoes.
Oh man, I had them last
watch. I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm winging it. My government flour, put some oil in a frying pan and fry them up.
Do you put, do you like an egg wash, dip them in egg, and then dip them in flour, or the other way around, or just in flour by itself?
Yeah, flour by itself. We supposed to, I don't know what I'm doing. My wife used to do this, but I thought it was just flour and fry them.
Sounds good. Do you put some seasoning in there with the flour, like salt and pepper or anything?
Oh, I put salt on them while I'm eating them. I have to use this, what they call white salt. It's 50% less sodium. My kids are making me use that. But I just put salt on them while I'm eating them, and I know K.A.
KI-90. Well, sounds good. I'll have to give that a try. I got some green tomatoes out back in the yard there. Maybe I'll slice up a few and try it.
Well, I'll take them if you don't want them. I love them. I probably should have looked at a YouTube video. That's what I normally do when I'm cooking. I didn't even do that this time. I just slice them up and flip them. I put flour on a plate and then I put the tomatoes on the flour both sides and then put it in a frying pan.
You just kind of fry them up till they get golden brown?
Yep. Yeah, that's what I do. But, it probably could stand that egg wash you're talking about. It's hard to get them brown unless you have enough flour on them, and sometimes I don't get enough flour on them.
Okay, I've seen that trick done before where I think you probably put the flour on them first and dip them in the egg. That gives something for the egg to stick to. And then go back to the flour again.
I stood around for a little bit when my wife was cooking them up for me, smelling them and that. But I didn't watch. I don't remember how she did it exactly. So I remember she put flour on a plate and then laid both sides of the tomato on the flour and threw it. I thought from there it went in the pan, but she probably did other stuff to it, I just don't remember. And I didn't watch her do it but once or twice.
Copy that. Yeah, I've never made those either. I'll have to see if there's a YouTube video on it.
I used to do it. I'm afraid to now since it's just me. I used to go over to Garwoods and get a, they had a small bushel basket, maybe it's a half bushel, but they'd have them full of green tomatoes. I'd buy them, it wasn't much either at the time, $7-$8, and bring them home, and then you gotta eat them, they'll turn red on you pretty quick, but I couldn't eat a half a bushel of them before they turned red.
Copy that. Yeah, sounds good. Gonna have to try that for sure. But, just heading home from work here. Heard you out there earlier, thought I'd say hello. How's things going with the HF bands and all that there, Mike?
It's going. I finally got around to working 10 meters. But there was a dog pile in that station from Ecuador, and I couldn't get through. But I made a couple other contacts. I can't remember I think they were on wire 6. I made a couple contacts to California and Oregon. And I wish I could do that regular 8 chip.
That's good. Glad your HF antenna and everything is working better now for you. And you're out there making some contacts now. That's cool.
FTN is next on the list, but I'm kind of concerned about the changes that I have to make to the settings in my ASU-FT-891. I basically want that for HF worldwide there. I don't know if the two would conflict or not.
Copy that. Yeah, I don't think it should. I've never used my 891 on FT8 yet, but I know there's some videos on it how to set it up to work with FT8. I don't think there's too many steps to it. Just a few steps to make sure your bandwidth is correct and you got your inputs and outputs set up.
Yeah, I watched the video and they had me making so many changes. It concerned me. For one thing, they wanted me to turn my power from 100 down to 50. And then when I'm ready to do HF work, I'll have to go back in there and turn it back up to 100 then. But I've been sitting here thinking about getting another HF rig for POTA and FT8 and leave mine ASU-FT-891 alone. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, it sounds like a good option. That way you don't have to mess around with the changing the settings back and forth.
Hey,
good, Tom.
How are you guys doing out there? I decided to take my EC with me today to see how it's doing. So I'm on my EC.
Hey, afternoon, Tom. Yeah, it's sounding good from the HT there. Where are you located?
I'm on 94, coming on Michigan City, I think.
Hey, getting in there good. Yeah, I just exited there on 421 southbound.
Yeah, I'll be going northbound on 421, as I typically do. I catch 400 and take 400 on into Johnson Road and Johnson Road on into LaPorte.
I just remembered I got my dog outside. I need to bring him back in. I'll be back in a minute. N9OKA.
Okay, Mike. And okay, on that route there, Tom, yeah. That sounds pretty good. Yeah, my QTH is west of LaPorte. I'm out in the county area. So this is the quickest way for me.
Yeah, I gotta stop and get fuel. So I usually go to that DP 400 in Franklin there.
Did you get a lot of driving in there today?
Yeah, today was a good day. I almost made $170, so a little bit short of it. So that works for me.
Oh, very good. Yeah, can't beat that. That's good. What area were you driving in mostly?
Kind of between Michigan City and LaPorte, but mainly Michigan City. The last route was Michigan City to Hammond, so that's what I did.
Okay, on the Hammond area, yeah, that's a little bit of a trip there. Well, at least it's not going into Chicago.
Sorry about that, Jim. I got a phone call. Come again with your last transmission.
Well, no problem. Nothing too big. Nothing to miss too much. I was just asking. Commenting on your trip to Hammond there. I said, at least you're not going all the way to Chicago.
Well, I made a decision. I'm not doing Chicago anymore. Some I will. Like, I won't do O'Hare anymore. It's 294 is just too much of a mess. I'll do Midway depending on the time of day, and I'll do Southern Suburbs, but I won't go into Chicago anymore.
Yeah, Midway is not too bad a trip there.
10-9-OK.
Dumps out on 94, it's the next exit, so then it's 6 miles from 94 to Midway. So that's not too bad of a run.
10-9-OK.
Hey, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I'm back. I got the dog in, and he's staying in now. The rascal's been wanting to stay outside today since it's nice out.
Yeah, he's probably enjoying the nice temperatures here. So about 60 degrees around that.
Yeah, I'm letting him because I don't know how many more nice days we're going to have. So that and he doesn't want to come back in. So he'll just keep bugging me and he wants back out.
Maybe the Michigan City.
Well, Jim, where are you coming from, Tom?
My last run was from LaPorte to Hammond, so I ended up coming back from Hammond. I've been getting home before 3 o'clock. Today was an exception. I didn't want to turn down that run to Hammond.
That's not too bad a drive.
No, it's about an hour back home, so I got to stop and get fuel along the way.
Hey, Tom, Mike's got a good fried green tomatoes recipe.
Well, I'm trying to perfect my ice cream recipe. I haven't quite got it there yet. I'm trying different things as far as artificial sweetener. And the last one didn't work out too well at all. The ice cream didn't solidify as much as I would have liked it to. It's more of a sludge type of a thing, so it didn't really freeze up well.
That's an ice cream. I haven't tried making that in a long time. I like Aldi's premium ice cream. It's just got three ingredients, just milk, cream, and sugar. Doesn't have a whole bunch of preservatives and other junk in it.
Well, the original recipe was four ingredients, vanilla, sugar, half and half, and cream, heavy whipping cream. But I've been using substitutes for sugar, and I used pure and got it made, and for some reason it was getting too solid in the freezer. So this last batch, I used a different sweetener and then added honey as Ricky here. So I looked up what makes ice cream keep it not freezing up so much, keep it from freezing up so much, the creaminess. So they said to add honey, or another thing to use is cream cheese, because it's the fat that keeps it from freezing solid. So I done honey on the last batch, but I also used a different sweetener, so I don't like that sweetener. I think I'll go back to the pure and see if that works.
You ever try the, I think it's called the monk fruit sweetener? It's like a 1-to-1 sugar ratio on it, and tastes just like sugar. without all the bad effects of it.
Hey, Tom.
It was the other option I was thinking of, because it is a one-to-one. Pure is, you use half the pure to take half the measure. So one cup of sugar is a half cup of pure, so I think the different ratio had something to do with the way that the ice cream froze as well, too.
Good there, Mike. I had to look it up real quick because I thought I heard this years ago that there's seaweed and ice cream. Maybe that's what you need to put in yours there, Tom. Put some seaweed in it.
Well, as far as the taste, I just make plain vanilla ice cream, and I add, like, blueberries or strawberries or whatever. And my wife actually found some calorie-free sugar to add to it, or calorie-free syrup, chocolate syrup. So it's a low-cal ice cream. I just got to get it to where it's acting properly.
So I was wondering if seaweed might make it act properly.
Yeah, I just wanted to stick with plain vanilla, and I could add flavors, or, you know, like I said, fruits or syrup or whatever. That way I can change it up that way. But I got to get it to where the consistency stays right. When I first take it out of the machine, the consistency is good, but not on this last batch. It was too liquid. So I'll get it. Sooner or later, I'll get it. Probably a couple more times, I'll have it down pat.
Well, maybe you want to know how to make a milkshake there, huh?
Yeah, the consistency of this last batch was kind of sort of like a milkshake. It didn't quite get as solid as ice cream gets, but it's kind of like a milkshake consistency.
There you go. Put that in your arsenal, huh?
Well, milkshake is not hard. It's ice cream. You take ice cream and put it in a blender with some milk, and there's your milkshake.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been years since I did something like that when the wife and kids were... When the kids were still home, the wife was around and out.
I think that seaweed ingredient you're referring to, Mike, is called carrageenan or something like that. On the ingredients list.
Now, the machine came with several different recipes, and the vanilla is the simplest. It's like I said, four ingredients, but I added the honey, so it's back to five ingredients. But I'll fine tune it, and I'll get it. So I love how it tastes. It turns out real good. It's just a matter of getting the consistency right.
You're right there, Jim. I just wasn't sure how you pronounce it, carrageenan. It's derived from red edible seaweed. It's used as a thickening and a stabilizing agent. It helps improve the texture and prevent ice crystals from forming in the ice cream.
Wonder if there's any nutrition to it.
Well, I would imagine with it being seaweed that there is, and that's what the fat does. Like if you add honey or cottage cheese, it's the fat that keeps ice crystals from forming or keeps them from getting solid.
It says that it's naturally non-digestible carbohydrates.
Well, that's not good.
Hey, if you're buying ice cream, you gotta watch out for it then, huh?
Yeah, you want stuff that's gonna digest. You don't want stuff that's not gonna digest.
You'd be surprised what the FDA allows in food and in medicine. Worm is sawdust. I forgot what the term they use, but it's sawdust.
Yeah, you'll find that in cinnamon.
I wrote a piece one time for the internet about it. And, man, it's been too many years ago. But, they put it in, Parmesan cheese so that it doesn't stick together when you're trying to pour it out of the can.
Is that why my Parmesan cheese had a little bit of a maple taste to it?
It's also in medicines as well. Prescription meds or whatever. The actual medicine itself is so small, you probably couldn't handle it, so they use sawdust to make the pill bigger. And since you don't digest it, it goes right through you. The government said it's okay. They say there's no proof to show if it harms or not.
Go figure, right? Go ahead, take it, Jim. I don't want you to leave you out there.
Sorry, double listening there, Mike. I was just signing out. Just made it home here. I'll say 7-3 and have a good evening. You there, Mike and Tom, and mobile safely, KI-90.
72 Jim. I made it to the board, so working my way to the gas station. I'll be fueling up and then heading home. Have yourself a wonderful night, KI-90 your mind.
7-3, Jim. I was just saying that there's sawdust in medication instead of in pills. That's a pleasant thought, huh? 7-3 to you, KI-90-90KA.
Well, there's not only garbage in that stuff, but there's garbage in our food source all over the place, all kinds of chemicals and everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me at all that's probably why the reason that people are sick, you know, and that's the way the pharmaceutical companies like it.
I don't know if the word I want to use is amazed or surprised or what, but I went through the FDA's website one time for the listing of the foods and whatnot, and if they couldn't prove that it harmed you, they went ahead and approved it. That don't mean nothing when they approve something. Good grief.
Well, I heard a story one time of a guy that traveled to a foreign country, and he didn't change his eating habits at all. He ate the same kind of foods and whatnot, and he started feeling better. But then he come back to the United States and started eating foods here, and he started feeling bad again. So that tells you something right there.
Oh, yeah. I was just a kid at the time, so I couldn't do nothing about it one way or another, but we bought seed corn one year back in like 1970, plant corn. The seed was pink or purple. The guy at the feed store said that it had been bred pesticides that had been bred into it so bugs wouldn't damage their corn and stuff like that, but I don't know. It still doesn't, to this day, it's never set right with me.
Well, if it's going to kill a bug, imagine what it does to us.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember if he said it killed him or chased him away or was something to that effect. Anyway, I don't remember, but man. Yeah, he probably did say it killed him, and so it's not good for us, but I was expecting yellow seed corn. You know, it's corn is yellow, and instead I get pink or purple seeds.
Yeah, there's all kind of garbage in our foods because of the way that they produce them.
Yeah, I got some friends on social media. They're big into that. They keep telling me to eat clean. What does that mean, eat clean?
That means do away the preservatives as much as possible. Don't eat processed foods. Don't go to the fast food places. Try to stay away from the chemicals as much as possible.
Well, do the Subway. And other than that, I buy my groceries at Aldi's or Walmart. And man, I'm really strapped for money here, and I buy what I can afford.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing, though, that it seems like the less healthy your food is, the less it costs. So, catch 22. Eating clean means to eat as close to natural as possible, like fruits and vegetables, and even that day, preservatives are everywhere, and you just got to read labels and be careful and buy quality meats and whatnot. And we usually go to Ice Cream Meats and get our meats there. Either that, or I think she goes and gets at Walmart too. But we've done things at Aldi, but she got some oranges at Aldi that didn't last. So I told her not to buy oranges there anymore because I have an orange every morning.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, I've been thinking about doing what you're doing, but I need a job for groceries. Pretty much anymore, but I'm concerned if I buy a car and then Uber doesn't hire me, then what do I do, you know? I wouldn't be able to make the payment.
Well, you should be able to find out if you qualify for Uber without even entering any information on a car, because Uber has rental programs. So I don't think you have to have a car to be able to qualify for Uber. It's just a matter of getting yourself qualified, and then you can go from there.
Well, I'll give that a try a little later then.
I'll send you an invite sometime tonight to sign up for Uber, and you can go from there.
Okay. Yeah, my email's in QRZ.
Yeah, I'll look you up. I'm not at home. I can't get your call sign down.
Yeah, it's still in 9OKA.
Do me a favor. Send me an email. Just say hi on it if you want to. It's my call sign at yahoo.com. This is the way I could have it.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I can send you an invite through email or if I got to get you on my contact list or how I have to go about that. I guess I can look once I get home and get into it. Mike, I'm about ready to pull up to the gas station, so I'll say 73 for now and give you one of the cards.
Okay, I'm in my email there. I'm going to get ready to send you an email.
All right, appreciate it.
You say that was at Yahoo?
Yeah, my call sign at yahoo.com. Gave you 9 Nehemiah Mobile.
WNDLP listening.